Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Mac Attack Show. It's your host, Jay Mac. I'm delighted and excited, first of all, that you are here with us on tonight, but also so glad to have my friend and my brother, none other than Pastor Charles Bobo. Come on, give him some hearts. Charles, you mind telling us a few things about yourself?
Hey, my brother, thank you for having me on. I love the name, the Mac Attack. I wasn't prepared for it, but that's a cool name. I love it. I am Charles Bobo. I am a pastor of the Westside Missionary Baptist Church in the city of St. Louis, Missouri. I have been pastoring there for 2 years, 2.5 years to be exact. I grew up in the church, so I've been there pretty much all my life. My father was pastor before me. I'll be married 19 years on Tuesday. We have 4 children, 17, 15, 11, and 8. And yeah, that's pretty much it right now. I'm in school, earning my doctorate of ministry right now. Just finished my first semester.
Awesome, man. What a wonderful resume. What a wonderful family. Thank God for you, man. We're going to get right into it. Today's episode is about godly fatherhood, biblical fatherhood. You're an amazing father. I wanted to ask you, how would you define godly fatherhood?
When I think about fatherhood, godly fatherhood, I think about the word. I think about the prodigal son and the father, how he had compassion on his son, even though his son left home, took all of the money, lived however he wanted to live, and then came back. The father, probably in human, from a human standpoint, we probably said he had every right to go off on him, probably tell him he couldn't come back, can't come back in the house, but instead he ran out to meet him on the road, kissed him, gave him the works, gave a party for him. And to me, that's what godly fatherhood looks like. You have compassion on your children, you have mercy on your children, you love your children no matter what, no matter what they've done. You always receive them and accept them back and show them the way that they should go, how to raise them. And so God always shows me through his word about how he has compassion for me, and I have to have compassion for my children the same way.
Awesome. A great example, great biblical example of compassion, forgiveness, mercy, grace, provision, because he had an inheritance for them to have. Great biblical example. Amen. Yeah. Now, in addition to the Bible, are there some people that have influenced you to be the father that you are today?
Absolutely. Well, my dad, number one, he's top and probably only. I can look at some other examples, but my father, again, he was pastor. He's that's all I've ever seen him do, is pastor in church, preaching the gospel. But more than that, how he raised us. He had integrity about himself. I can go anywhere in the city of St. Louis, and you mentioned the name Bobo. It has a good name because my father has so much integrity about it, about himself. So he raised us to be respectful men, to be godly men. Stuff we wanted to do, even though we didn't look at it as being bad. My dad was like, "Nope, you're not. I'm not gonna let you go to the mall by yourselves when you're 13 and 12." Just because of he understood being a black male during, even back in the 90s, he understood that and what that looked like, and he was protecting us. He was a protector. He is a protector. He still protects us. He still gives us money every now and then, so he still provides for us. Praise be unto God. He blesses our grandchildren, all of that good stuff. So yeah, my dad is A1 for sure.
Awesome. Amen. Great man of God, great pastor, great husband, great father, and you're blessed to have great influence. And I think that's important. D.L. Hughley once made a statement, you'll never be a man unless you see a man. Yeah. And I do believe that. Now, I am 100% proud of, and not knocking the strong mothers who've had to do it by themselves. So I'm fully aware that there is that dynamic. But today I want to acknowledge those fathers who have been there for their children and been great examples and are now great grandfathers. Or excellent grandfathers and great grandfathers. So we salute people like your father, and I shout out my dad, similar example. He built a name, a reputation. In fact, now I have a foundation, and I named it McLaughlin Legacy Foundation out of respect for my father and my grandfather and my great grandfather. And they all have followed a similar pattern and model of building a legacy so that our kids can walk the streets, whether it's St. Louis or Petersburg, or Danville, wherever it may be, yeah. That our children are respected and that they have something to build upon.
Can I say one more thing?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I just want to say that my dad, he has several other children, meaning spiritual children.
Amen.
Biological children. And so for a while, I think growing up, I didn't know how to take that. But looking at it as I'm older, these people in the church, people my age, they didn't have a father growing up. And so they would call my dad, or they call him father. And so just seeing that he's not just a father to me, of course, but he's a father. And I'm sure your dad is the same way to so many others who needed a father. So I'm just grateful.
Absolutely. And now this wasn't designed to be the PK episode, the preacher's kids episode, but I mean, we could park right there and talk about what it's like to be a pastor's son. If you could just share some insight, I know this is impromptu, but since we're there, what was your experience? And I'll share some of mine, but I wanted to hear from you. What was it like to be a pastor's son?
Sure. Everybody watches you in the church, you know, even outside of the church, growing up, that's just what it was. And I was always wanted to fit in. And I remember one of the members of the church, and I told her, it was my Sunday school teacher at the time. She said, "Charles, you'll never fit in." And I was like, "No, I want to fit in." She was like, "No, you never fit in." And I never did fit in, but that's just because of who my father was and who I am. And so when I look back on it now, and I look at maybe some of my friends I grew up with, I'm grateful I grew up in a pastor's home, that I have the foundation that I have, that I got the upbringing that I have from my dad and my mom. So I'm truly blessed. Now, me and my brothers, we couldn't do what everybody else did. And at times we got in trouble for doing what everybody else did, but I'm grateful for being the son of a preacher. Yeah.
Amen. Likewise. My story is very similar. I went above and beyond trying to do some things that others did. In fact, my testimony is I did some things others wouldn't do. But I had a father and mother that loved me enough that continued to pray and continued to show the way. And so to all of those parents out there that may have one or two children that require some extra prayer, you just keep showing the example, you keep loving on them, you keep praying for them. For sure. I promise you, it will work out in the end. And it may seem bleak sometimes. You might say, "Lord, I don't know what's going on." But as a parent, you just continue to keep the faith and God will see you through. Continuing the conversation about your father and his influence, you have worked alongside your father.
Yeah.
And I believe that has helped shape you as a leader and who you are today. What was that experience like?
So when I came back, I worked for many years with my dad. When I came back from college, I worked as a youth minister first. I left, started a church, came back, and I worked as minister of Christian education. And so it's always been a mentor-mentee. He has always been showing me what to do, what not to do, how to respond, how not to respond, when to say something, when not to say something. So it's been that. And so I would just shadow him, even if it's just going watching him, if it's just driving him. Sometimes I'll just be his driver, just driving him from place to place. But along the way, I was picking up nuggets. The older I've gotten, it's been a wonderful relationship that we've had. And me gleaning from him, getting all the wisdom that I can.
Awesome. So it sounds like your father has helped you in being a father. And that's a major role that grandparents or fathers can play in a person's life. A lot of people assume once a person becomes 18, you're done. Your job is done. But would you say it's fair to say that fatherhood is a lifelong expedition? It's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong assignment that as long as your children are alive and here, that you are there to be a father to them.
Listen, I called my dad yesterday asking him for some advice. So, yeah, it's a lifelong venture. You don't ever stop being, at least from what I have experienced, you don't ever stop being a father to your children. I remember going home to my granddad's house, my grandparents' house, and my dad, who I always saw as this larger-than-life figure, you know, he was a disciplinarian. When we go home to my granddad was that dude. My dad, I just saw him had so much respect for him. It was a respect of fear, but it wasn't, you know, he wasn't scared of him, but it was just a yes, sir, no, sir, you know.
Reverence.
Let me take out the trash, you know, so it was that type. So I saw them, but I saw it passed down. And so, it was that type of respect is what I've seen all my life.
Yeah, same here. My grandfather is my father's biggest hero. I mean, it's clear. Yeah. And as much authority as my dad would have at home and at church, we went to my papa's house. It was a different story. So I get it. So trust me, I get it, man. So we've talked a lot about church and fatherhood. I want to ask you, as a pastor, what role do you believe that churches can play in helping men become better fathers?
I believe we have to be more intentional about how to reach fathers, and maybe even some of the ministries and things we have for men or for fathers, for young fathers, maybe even for older fathers, and how to communicate with their children, how to minister to their children, even how to pray for their children. I think many fathers are natural protectors, but sometimes the children need more than that. They need nurturing. And so churches, they can give classes, they can, you know, be more intentional as you're doing with the Bible study. You're doing a Bible study on fatherhood. I've not heard of that. You know, on Sunday morning we do it because it's Father's Day, but to do it even the Wednesday before, I think that's intentional. That's what's needed. So I think more intentionality. We're thinking about doing something. I just talked with a young brother, and he wants to do something for men, for the fathers in our church. And so we're trying to be intentional about specifically reaching fathers, because as you know, we're unfortunately not as active as we should be in the church.
Amen. Amen. So our generation of fathers is not the same as our fathers and our grandfathers and the great grandfathers
at all.
What would you say I'll begin on a good note. What would you say are some of the greatest joys of the modern day father and just fatherhood in general?
Yeah. I think seeing the aspects or the characteristics and traits of myself and my wife in my children and developing them, just seeing them grow, seeing them not necessarily do the things that I did, but doing things even greater than I did. My son I love basketball, and I thought I was the stuff back in high school. My son is a much better basketball player than me. My other son, he plays chess. My daughter, they all receive something from me and my wife, but they do it so much better. So that's just a joy. Not only that, but to see that they love God, and to hear their conversations sometimes, that they talk about God, even when they don't know that we're listening, that does my heart glad.
Amen. Amen. Be encouraged. The good things of you, God deposits them into your children and takes it to another level. And I believe the next generation should get better. In fact, it's funny. My daughter this morning, who's 5 years old now, I'm in a PhD program. I don't claim to be smart, but a lot of people say I am. My daughter says to me today, "Daddy, you know I'm smarter than you, right?" "Wait, what?" And I said, "You know what? I hope you are smarter than me. I want you to do better than me." Exactly. But it kind of took me aback for a minute. But I know there's coming a day where she's going to exceed many things that I've done. And I'm hoping the same for my son. So that, to me, that's part of what fatherhood is about. It's not about you.
Right. But it's about making
the next generation better.
That's right.
And so I think that's true love. And that's what Jesus said to the disciples. He wanted greater works for the next generation. And so as a parent, and I'm doing too much talking, but I just felt led to say this. You have to remember, at this point in your life, it's not about your personal accomplishments. I'm not saying forget what God has done for you and or forget your purpose and the promise God has for you. But you have some younger people that God has trusted you with, and you're to be a good steward of the gifts that God has given you.
Right.
And just as much as they're your children, even more so, they're God's children. So God has trusted you with a gift. Take care of it. Help show them the way. Help them to be better than you, and God will take care of the rest.
God is always showing. When I look at my children, I feel like I'm looking at a mirror. And he's always showing me, this was you at their age. And when I want, if I could tell this story real quick, when I poured cereal for my children, one day for my son, Chase, he was probably like 9 or 8 or 9 at the time. And I poured him some Cinnamon Toast Crunch and I put it back up. And I said, if you want some more, come and let me know. And so, I come back downstairs to the kitchen. I peeked around the corner. He's not in his chair. And I'm looking for him. And I see my other son. And he's just sitting down eating. I was like, where's Chase? And I hear this whimper. And I looked in the cabinet where I put the cereal back up. And he looks like Spider-Man. He's on like the 4th and 5th shelf trying to get the cereal. Except the cereal is on the floor. It's spilled on the floor. Half of it's out of the box. Half of it's... $5 box, mind you. It's a $5 box.
The cereal right there.
$2.50 of it is still on the floor. And so I'm getting ready to lay
down to the penny.
I'm getting ready to lay into him. And God is like, I want you to stop and look at it before you go at him. He said, this is what you do. When I tell you to wait, when I tell you to hold on, I'll get you something. I'll bless you with something. You try to go after it yourself, and then you end up spilling your blessing or you end up messing it up. And so God just shows me myself through them. And so instead of whipping them like I wanted to or discipline, God gave me an opportunity to teach him instead. And so, and to use that, that Spider-Man strength that he has. And so we got him doing flips and basketball and all that. So I saw a gift in him as well, that he has athletic ability. So God always shows me myself through my children.
Awesome. Now I'm going to tell you where I thought you were going. That's a great story. that's phenomenal. But where I thought you were going with that was, I have a friend who one day called me and said, "Rev, how do you beat the you out of your children?" He's like, they I know where they got it from. They got it from me. I there's no denying it, but I don't want them to do it. Do you have any insight on that?
On how to beat the you out of them?
Yeah. Now, first of all, in case CPS is watching, we do not condone child abuse. So let's be clear. How do you discipline the you out of the children is the proper step.
There we go. How we discipline them.
But what the person said to me was, how do you beat the you out of the children?
I know me. And so because I know me, and if they're like me, then I know some of the thoughts that they're having, or I know some of the actions. So I try to beat them to the punch. I know what you're thinking, or I know what you're getting ready to do. Or I can walk into a room and tell them, I know what you've done. So, and I haven't even seen it. For me, it's sitting down talking to him. And I tell my children all the time, listen, be honest with me. Just tell me the truth, no matter how bad it is. I have to tell them that over and over again. It was a while before they started telling me the truth when I asked them the first time. I'd have to keep asking them and keep asking them. But letting them know, you might get in trouble, but it's going to be a whole lot worse if you don't tell me the truth the first time.
Right.
So I try to reason with them and talk to them because they are smarter. And I believe and I pray they will be smarter than me. So I try to give them that benefit of the doubt. So.
Amen. Awesome. All right, man, this has been great. Just a few other questions. I asked you about the greatest joys, but it wouldn't be me if I didn't ask this question. What do you perceive to be some of the greatest challenges of fatherhood, and especially modern day fathers?
What I think is probably a challenge is the outside influences. Mm. It's the world. You're competing with, you know, this technology with YouTube, all these apps and stuff. And we can't be with our children all the time. Most of our children have phones and tablets already. Even though you put blocks on there, stuff still gets through. And even the outside influence at church, but just at school. I just remember, I think up until a certain age, one of my kids, they were talking just regularly at home. And then when they came back, their slang was different. Just how they talked to interacted with their siblings was different. And I knew it's just because of what they experienced outside of the home. So that's one of the challenges, is when they go out and it seems like they're kind of reprogrammed, is trying to let them know, hey, we don't do that in this house. We don't talk that way. We don't act like that. And then just trying to safeguard them from what their eyes and ears hear and see.
Yeah. All right. Cool. I hate to have preconceived notions, but one of the things that I often hear fathers discuss, because there are so many blended families, and there's so many single parents, and one of the things I've heard many men say is, one, being cordial with the mother, even if you all don't fully agree how to raise a child, things of that nature. So being on the same page with the mother and grandparents, because grandparents can play a big role and in some cases present many challenges.
Yeah.
But interacting not so much with YouTube and TikTok and Instagram, but just your family. And so I think that plays a role as well. Yeah. But yeah, making sure, first of all, you have godly wisdom. So you have to be a good parent yourself. And then you have to address the boundaries or establish boundaries and handle the outside influences, as you said. So that's good stuff.
Sure.
Yep. Any young fathers that might be listening, as we're closing out, you have any insight for any potential new fathers, any fathers that may be listening that have their first child on the way? Any insight or advice you want to give anybody?
To the ones who are expecting, it is the greatest joy. I remember right before my first son was born, or my first child was born, and me and my dad were having a conversation, and he said it's the most beautiful thing, because it's just, you know, you two in the room, you and the mother in the room, and then maybe the doctor and the nurse, but then all of a sudden, this other life shows up out of nowhere. And it's just, it's a blessed thing. And so for me, to you, expecting fathers, enjoy. Enjoy the days of young fatherhood. Pouring into them, talk to them, even in the belly, nurture them, pray for them. It is the most blessed thing. For those of you who are young fathers, it does get easier. It's a little hard right now, but it eventually, trust me, I do know and understand. We went through some rough nights and days. I can remember one Sunday morning, we had three services. We were going to church. We said we're going to make it. We got up at 6 o'clock in the morning. We said we're going to make it to the 8 o'clock. That didn't happen. We said we'll make it to the 9:45. That didn't happen. We'll make it to 11:45. We didn't get to church until 12:30. It took us 6 hours to get ready. But it gets easier after a while. So it does get easier. And this is who, as you said earlier, Jameson, that this is who God has entrusted us with, to be able to protect, to pour into, to love on, to have compassion on. So this is a gift from the Lord. And so just as many would take care of their homes, their cars, cleaning them, you know, getting it detailed, whatever you do for that, you got to do even more for your children. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, thank you, Pastor Bobo. Again, this has been rich. Truly appreciate you. Any closing thoughts about godly fatherhood or biblical fatherhood?
Man, I want to say thank you first for allowing me to come on and do this again. God is he's the ultimate father, and follow his example and you can't go wrong.
Amen. To all the fathers out there, I hope that you have the faith like Abraham, that you are able to be a blessing like Jacob, that you are able to provide like the father of the prodigal son, that you have compassion like so many biblical fathers, and that the Lord orders your steps and gives you the wisdom of Solomon. God bless y'all. This is the Mac Attack Show. Love y'all with the love of Christ. God bless.
Bless you. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Thanks for tuning in.